And I hope you're reading with us in Genesis. If you're not, how about starting up tomorrow and going right through it? And every year we've been reading through the Bible, so on watch night you can say you finished it, and what a blessing it is. And many times I'll preach from that portion of Scripture, and I intend to do that tonight, Lord willing, next Sunday night as well. As we've looked at Abraham, and we asked the question this morning, are you the kind of believer the Lord rewards with more blessings? And we saw that Abraham was promised by God that he would have a huge impact on his family, upon his nation, and upon the world. All the nations of the earth, God said, would be blessed in this man, Abraham. And are you the kind of believer that the Lord rewards with more blessings? And we said this morning that the Lord rewards friendly believers with them. Friendly believers with them. And if you're going to have friends, you've got to show yourself friendly. You've got to reach out to people. And Abraham was just looking at the tent door, waiting for a visitor to come by. He saw three of them, and man, he jumped out. He ran to them. He met them. He showed friendship to them. And then when he did that, he washed their feet, you know. He offered them water because I was there in the Holy Land. There's not a lot of water, and you really get thirsty. And he offered them water. Then he had Sarah help him, and they made food for these guys, a delicious steak dinner. It was delicious he made for these guys and showed them friendship. And I believe, you know, that that is a lesson to us, that if we're going to reach people, we need to show friendship. And I was so thankful for the pizza. I asked for help so we could get pizza. I think it was between $300 and $400. I don't know how much it was to buy the pizza. But at any rate, different people of you gave money and you contributed toward that. I won't call you by name because your reward is in heaven. But thank God for that, that there are believers that are friendly. And it's amazing, you know, having a birthday cake, having pizza, it brought all these people in. And people get saved. And I think of our Lord. You know, sometimes people don't like big days. But our Lord said, hey, don't send these people home. Let's give them some food. Have them sit down. And he fed 5,000 men, let alone what family was with them, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he fed them. And he showed friendship to them. He did it again with 7,000 people. And so I'm just simply saying that if we're going to make an impact, we have to have that hospitality. We have to have that willingness to use our homes, our church home, and have it a place of friendship and an inviting place when people come in that they feel at home here. And so if you're going to be the kind of believer and be in the kind of church that has an impact, we're going to have to be friendly. You know, in businesses, there used to be a motto, the customer is always right. The customer is always right. And Abraham had that attitude. I'm here to serve you. In fact, when they were eating, what was Abraham doing? They're eating the steak, and he's standing there watching them eat. I can't do that with my wife. If I'm not eating, she won't eat in front of me. She just hates to do that. She's just raised not to do that. And there are days I don't eat, you know, and I want to sit down with her and watch her. Oh, she can't take that. She doesn't like that. But Abraham, apparently these guys didn't mind it. They asked. Actually ate. Now, who were these three visitors? You know, the Bible says when you show hospitality, you can entertain. Some have entertained angels unaware. So one of the men, tell me who these three people were that, all right, Luke, you got it. Let's see it.
Two of them were angels. The other one was the Lord.
There you go. Two of them were angels. The other one was the Lord himself. And there he was. And he was the Lord Jesus before he was born in Bethlehem. He looked like a man, but he wasn't a man yet. But he had the appearance of a man. He was able to eat Can you imagine that? Before he was born, he could eat and eat that, chew that steak. Oh, that must have been a good dinner. When I was in the Holy Land, we were over there at Abraham's tent, and they gave us a delicious meal. And that's the way Abraham was. And so are you that kind of believer that the Lord can reward with more blessings? Then you should be a friendly person. Our church should be a friendly church. But I want to talk about a second thing about, are you the kind of believer that the Lord rewards with more blessings? Secondly, the Lord rewards faithful believers with them. Not only friendly, but faithful. Abraham was faithful with what God gave him, and he was faithful with his possessions. By the way, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance. And that is so important. And what is your substance? It's your net worth. You take all of your income and all of your possessions that you have and subtract it from the bills that you owe, and that then is your net worth. And God says you honor the Lord with your substance, your net worth. See, some people, they want to be millionaires and billionaires, and they think the person that dies with the most money wins. No, that's not true. I think of a guy by the name of, what was that guy's name? Russell Anderson. There it is. Russell Anderson. And he became a multimillionaire. He helped with Hiles Anderson College. He helped with Commonwealth Baptist College. These millionaires donating money to help fundamental preachers start colleges and so forth. This guy at one time, he knew he was getting closer to passing away, and he was quite a guy. He was an older man. My daughter, Brooke, my youngest daughter, went to Germany with a group, and Russell Anderson liked Brooke, and he would always talk to her and sat near in Germany. They went on a trip because she was in Hiles Anderson. Got to know Russell Anderson. But toward the end of his life, Russell Anderson gave away $25,000 a day to God's work, independent fundamental Baptist work. You know what? He realized you can't take it with you. And Abraham was a very rich man. In our vernacular today, he was a multimillionaire. And yet, he had money, but money didn't have him. So the Lord said to his two angels, he said, in Genesis 18, verse 17, he said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? God saying that Abraham would be a blessing to many people. Abraham would have promises of God and knowledge of God's will. And Abraham was faithful in the little things. The Bible says if you're faithful in your possessions, in little things, God will make you ruler over much. Sometimes people judge a person when they have a bigger net worth. But that is not a thing to judge a person. The question is, how do they do in paying their bills? How do they do in managing their money? How do they do in giving towards God's work? And see, that is very important. And so Abraham was a man that God blessed. And the Bible is very clear. God can bless you with more if you're faithful with what you have. Faithful in little things, right? God will make you rule over much. I remember our church. We went through a time of the church losing people, and we went through a battle back in the 1980s. And I remember Pete Cowling from Hiles Anderson College came here with a gospel team of ladies to sing in our services. And Pete Cowling left me a scripture, a faithful man shall abound in blessings. A faithful man shall abound in blessings. We had just a few people in the church at that time after going through that time. And he saw it. But he kept coming back, and he saw year after year God blessing our church. God blessing our church. You know, it's the same way with money. You don't get rich quick. Some people, they want to win the lottery. And they did a study of all these people that win the lottery. They got rich quick. They gave all their money away. They wasted it. They blew it. And they wound up poor. Sometimes they killed themselves. It didn't help them. But the Bible says in Proverbs that you should get income and wealth over time by being wise in how you manage your money and how you spend it. And that's what financial peace is all about. And so that is the teaching here, that you and I need to be faithful with our possessions. And can I say this tonight? When I first got saved, I gave 10% of all my income. Somebody gave me a birthday present, they would say, "Are you going to give 10% to the church?" And I say, "Yeah, I'm going to give 10% to the Lord." "Is that going to keep you from giving me a present?" They wanted me to have it all. No, I don't want it to be like that. You know, Brother Morgan was here, preached a tremendous messages on finances and on missions, and we gave him a very generous offering. I was very thankful for that, Brother Morgan. But you know what? He was generous right back. He sent the church a gift, you know. That's Brother Morgan. That's Brother Morgan. He lives what he preaches. He's a faithful man, and God has blessed that man. And so I'm just saying that be faithful in little things. Don't wait for a big, great, grandiose thing to happen to you. I've had people say, "Oh man, if God gives me $1 million, I am going to give away, 10% of a million? $100,000. I'm going to give $100,000 to the Lord." Sometimes they'll even say more than that. But they're not even giving $1 out of 10 to the Lord. Are you giving tithes to the Lord? Out of every $10, do you give $1 in the offering plate to God through the local church? If you don't do that tonight, you've been a crook. Don't do that. Don't rob God. You're robbing yourself, and you're not being like Abraham. And be faithful with your possessions. But you know, also, Abraham, what was his most prized possession? Does anybody know, next to his salvation, his wife, what was his most prized possession? Sarge?
His son, Isaac.
He waited till he was 100 years old, and finally God gave him a son, and he loved that boy. And that boy was something that the Lord had promised him and said, "Through Isaac, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth." And Abraham was so excited. And then God said, when Isaac became a teenager, "Now I want you to go and kill him. I want you to kill him." And we saw Abraham didn't question God. He got up early in the morning. He traveled with Isaac to the place where he's going to offer him as a burnt offering. They had the wood. He put the wood on Isaac's back. Isaac said, "I see the wood. I see the fire you've got to do a burnt offering, but where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "God will provide himself a lamb." That's pointing to Jesus, amen. And just as Abraham was coming down, he meant business. He was going to come down and cut his carotid artery and have him bleed out. God said, "Abraham, Abraham, no, now I know. Now I know you are willing to give me your most prized possession." And that's what God wants. He wants our hearts. God wants us to love him because he gave his most prized possession, his son, the Lord Jesus, so that we could have this great fellowship that we have. All the blessings that we have, the blessings we're talking about, they were all purchased by a God who paid a lot. The Father paid a lot. He gave his son. The son paid a lot. He gave himself. And Abraham and Isaac pictures the Father having the son go and be nailed to a wooden cross and to be that burnt sacrifice, so to speak, as he went through hell on that cross, and he paid for our way into God's heaven. So should we rob tithes and offerings? Oh, no, we should never do that. He was faithful with his possessions. Abraham was faithful with his purity. Abraham was faithful with his purity. You see, Abraham didn't do like Lot did. Lot went down into Sodom. Lot wanted to be accepted in Sodom. Lot wanted to be popular in Sodom. And Lot was a believer. Lot is in heaven. But the problem is that Lot was not pure because he hung around such evil and sin, and he wanted to be accepted, and yet it really bothered him, but he kept exposing himself to it. You know, you're very foolish when you get on the cell phone and you expose yourself to things you shouldn't look at. You're very foolish when you look at things and get involved in music that leads you away from God. It's not a good thing to do that. God wants you to be like Abraham, and he stayed far away from Sodom so that when Lot was taken captive with the people of Sodom because of his compromise, who rescued him? Abraham rescued him. And the Bible says if you stay spiritual and you stay close to God, you can help people that are walking carnally like Lot did. They're taking too much of the flesh into their life because they're exposing themselves to it, you see. You know, there was a guy, and he was a king, and he wanted to get a driver. And his road came down from his castle, went right by a cliff. And he said, I have three drivers. I want you guys to try out to see who I'm going to hire, and I'm going to pay very well to be my driver. And one guy came down that thing, and he showed how fast he could drive, and he came really close to that cliff, and he stayed right on course, and no problem. The second guy said, wow, that guy really, he's impressing the king. I'm going to show him I can do even better. So that guy came down that road, and he got so close to the cliff that one of the wheels went over the cliff, a rocks began to fall, and he spun that thing and went right around and came right back down on the road and went. He said, surely I beat the first guy, but there's one more guy left. What's he going to do? How's he going to outdo me? And the third guy looked and he found a side road that didn't even go by the cliff. And he took that road. And then all guys waited to see who the king would choose, and he chose the third guy. You see, what God is impressed with is not how close you can get to the world and still not go into it, but that you stay away from it. Men of God need to guard themselves against ladies, lucre, and liquor. And they need to be careful not to be in a compromising position. The great evangelist Billy Graham used to have a guy go into his room when he went into a city, and he would look in his closets and everywhere, because one time they found a lady in the closet and she was hiding there. So when Billy Graham got into the motel room, she was going to jump out, put her arms around Billy Graham, and they had somebody there to flash a picture. So Billy Graham wisely would not even go into his room unless somebody went and swept the grounds, you see. We're talking about purity, careful separation. Here's what the Bible says in James. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, a bride, when she's going to be married, she has this beautiful white dress on, right? And how would that bride feel if that dress got all muddy, all spotted? It's still nice, but it's got those spots on it. It's like Pastor Bloom's tie. It's not good when I'm eating soup. I'm just saying, I had a guy in my church, he was a deacon, he wanted to buy me a sheath for my birthday, a transparent sheath, and put it over my tie. He said, that's what you need. But anyway, keep yourself unspotted from the world. You know, I think of guys, you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, to have long hair for a man is a shame. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 9 that the devils that come out of hell in the day of the Lord, they're going to have hair like what? Women. And people say, well, how long is long? Well, you should be saying, how far away can I stay from having long hair? Let me make it clear that I'm a man. And there are so many guys that don't do that. And same thing with a girl with a dress. Even a girl with a dress needs to be a modest dress. What's a modest dress? According to the Bible, it covers your knees. Did you know that? And some say, well, how close can I get? And when you sit down, it's worse. And so you need to be careful. Purity. Purity. And that's what Abraham had and what he was. And so God blessed him. And there's a third thing, not only his possessions, not only his purity, but prophecies. God gave Abraham wonderful prophecies. By the way, aren't you glad for the prophecies in the Word of God? Do you know tonight your future, if you're a child of God, is as bright as the promises of God? He's given us a tremendous future. He's going to kick all the people out of the world who are squatting here during the day of the Lord, and he's going to set up his kingdom, and he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem, and we who are now in the church will rule with him as a reward according to how faithful you've been in little things, because you can't take anything out of this. But if you've been faithful, he's going to give you a position of authority, a position of blessing. And that's going to be permanent, because that kingdom, it goes for 1,000 years, but then after that, it will continue forever. And so what you do now has an eternal weight of glory. Don't be afraid to sacrifice for the Lord. Don't be afraid to give till it hurts. Don't be afraid to sacrifice your time, your talents, your body, your money. Don't be afraid. God is generous. And he wants us to be faithful with the prophecies of the Word of God that he gives us. And here's what it says in Genesis 18, 17, and 18. God says, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? The Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. In other words, God gives us prophecies in the Bible, and God gives us the understanding of Bible prophecy and the understanding of what God will do and even what he is doing now. Because right then and there, God was getting ready to go down, and not God himself, but send his angels down and check out Sodom and see if it was really as bad as he heard it was in heaven. And of course, he knows everything, but he sent them down to check it out personally. And they went down there and they found it was bad. Have you noticed all this transsexual violence lately? That is sodomy to the next level. When a person practices sodomy and the nation gets into sodomy, then the next level is violence. And that is exactly what's happening. Everybody felt bad about that lesbian woman who had a wife, not really a wife, but she called her the wife, and she was there to deal with federal agents authorized to carry out the laws of the United States, and she was there to harass those people. And she even used a car coming at one of the men who had been dragged 300 feet previously by another one of these leftists. And now she's going to do it. And people are so upset that she lost her life. Well, it's a tragedy she lost her life. I agree. But it's not the ICE agent's fault. That's no place to be. I'm just saying that we need to realize that God says, I am going to show Abraham what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring judgment down upon Sodom. And God in one day destroyed the whole city of Sodom, the whole city of Gomorrah, and other cities that were involved in homosexuality, sodomy, which is an abomination to Almighty God. And so Abraham, God said, I am going to show you what I'm going to do, because Abraham, you're going to become a great and a mighty nation. So if you're faithful with the word of God and the things that God shows you from the word, God will bless your life. And when it comes to understanding God's word, the Lord Jesus said in John 7:17, he said, if any man will do his will, speaking of God's will and the word, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, the Lord knew he promised Abraham a miraculous son, but he knew, as I just said, that he would be willing to offer that son to God. And so God said, I can give him my promises. I can do things for him. The Bible of the Lord and his servants, if somebody's going to teach the Bible says that they must first be willing to do. In fact, Jesus himself went forth first of all to do and then to teach. People that teach Sunday school in our church, they first of all have to be willing to do what is preached from the pulpit, what's preached from the Bible. They have to do it. They have to prove themselves. One of the things that we have for Sunday school teachers is you have to come in the morning to our lesson the pastor teaches. You have to do it, and then you can teach it. And Brother Steve Gary is a teacher in our Sunday school. He's a deacon. He's a teacher at our Christian school. He said to me this morning, he said, Ben Bajeski taught my Sunday school class this morning. He's been helping as a helper. He said, I think he's ready to teach. He's ready to have his class. And of course, Brother Steve's not retiring. We're giving him another class because we want more classes and we want more teachers, because who learns more? The teacher learns more than the student. By first of all doing, then you can teach. And I appreciated when Ben made a decision as the new year was coming, I'm going to go to Revival Seekers Prayer Meeting. He's there now at the Revival Seekers Prayer Meeting at 9 o'clock, the men's Revival Seekers Prayer, and prays with the men. He goes to the Sunday school teaching class meeting and learns and is faithful to do what needs to be done to be a teacher. And we have a leadership standards sheet that teachers need to sign. And I'm sure he's willing to sign that sheet. I'm just saying that if you're going to learn, you have to be willing to do. And it's great when a young man, 16 years of age, is willing to do. And the Bible says, you know, you ought to be teachers by now. And you have need that somebody teach you. And I don't want to have it take me months and years and way long time to get to that point. But we have to be willing to do. Well, Abraham, you see, was faithful, listen to me, with the prophecies of the word of God that God gave him. And he acted on behalf of the word of God and did what the word of God said. That's just like Noah. God prophesied to Noah, I'm going to flood the world. And I want you to build an ark. And what did the Bible say? Noah did something. He moved with fear and he built that ark. And he got saved and his house got saved. And so the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said, let a man account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, what are the mysteries of God? It's revelation that God gave to the apostles so they could write down the New Testament Bible. Paul said, I am a manager. God gives me these mysteries, these revelations, these prophecies. I write them down. And then he said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. a steward is a manager, and you have to be faithful. I had a guy manage apartments for me one time. He had a particular apartment down in Southside Scranton, and he managed that apartment for me. And he managed it for a few years, and he took a lot of work off me. I didn't have to go there and do a lot of work. I could do the ministry. The only problem was he was pilfering the money for himself. He pilfered the money for himself. And I found out about it. Now, I didn't put him in jail for that. I didn't. Fired him. But when he did some moral things that were wrong, that were illegal, I turned him in to the authorities, and he was in jail for over 10 years. I put two people in jail for moral things like that for a long time by reporting them. But the Bible says it's important that we are faithful. What does that mean? Show up, work hard, like A.L. Williams said, and live morally right. Be faithful. Too many people compromise their testimony. And when you teach and preach the word of God, you receive the greater condemnation because it affects more people. God knew Abraham would be faithful with the prophecies of the word of God that God was giving him. And we see it here in Genesis in the Bible. You know, God gave Abraham a lot of prophecies. You know, God has given us a lot of good teaching from the Bible in this church. And I thank God for it. And, you know, some of the things that we teach in this church are not popular even with fundamentalists. And I am a fundamentalist. And I seek to be in the fundamental camp. But you know what? A lot of things I teach, I would not be invited into pulpits to preach because I'm not going to preach in their pulpits things that disagree with the past. I do that here. And you know what? I just determined a long time ago, I'm going to start slow like Abraham and just teach and preach the truth. Let the chips fall where they may. And over time, God will give me people that will teach the truth. And it will influence and impact a lot of different people. I don't have to worry about fitting in with somebody's camp and being popular with somebody to try to have an impact. No, just be faithful. What does the Bible teach? Just teach it to my people. Teach it to my preacher boys. And God will bless. And that's what Abraham did. And God said, he said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. You know what? I still believe this church is going to have a great impact. And so we're going to keep teaching and preaching the word of God that God gives us, and our influence and our impact will grow, and we want to see that happen. And the Lord was talking here about his judgment upon Sodom. And the Lord said in Luke 17, the Lord Jesus taught that the judgment upon Sodom was a picture of what? In Luke 17, one of the men, the judgment upon Sodom as the judgment of the flood, both of those were pictures of what? Prophetic judgment. If you know, raise your hand. I'm going to go to Luke again.
The end times, the wrath.
Yes.
The end times wrath, called the day of the Lord wrath. Just like God destroyed Sodom, one city, and Gomorrah, another city, in one day, by fire, so God's wrath is going to come down on the same day, Jesus said, that the believers are taken out of that city. There were only three people saved from that city, Lot and his two daughters. That was it. Even his wife turned to a pillar of salt. And Jesus warned people, he said, remember Lot's wife. And what he was saying there, Lot's wife, it says, lingered back, way behind Lot. Lot and his daughters were up ahead. Lot's wife was way back because she was looking at her daughters. She was looking at her sons-in-law. She was looking at her house. She was looking at Sodom. Why? Because she didn't have the Lord in her heart. She may have professed the Lord, but her heart and life was in this world. Have you been born again? Are you just traveling through this world and your real home is in heaven? Remember Lot's wife. She lingered and she turned to a pillar of salt when the fire and brimstone came down, either because, you know, it just petrified her into salt, or God just did a miracle and turned her into it. I don't know. But he did it to show that people that are not really saved, many times they linger in the world. They want the world. So they have believers that are close to them, like her husband, her daughters. But she lingered. And that is a picture of the prophecy of the end time wrath of God. You know, you can thank God that Abraham was faithful with prophecy and was a good manager of what God gave him, and God gave him more and more understanding. And you know what I thank God in this church? Is God has given us understanding, and we've preached it and not been afraid to try to blend in with even good people. We just stay faithful that God is blessing us. And thank God for opening eyes of people even to what's going on in our country today. You know, because Abraham knew what was going on with Sodom, he could stay back from it. He could pray, and he interceded, remember, for Lot and for the people there in Sodom. And God has given us understanding. And one of the things that we have had understanding of, and I thank God for, is making me preach on Isaiah 45 before Donald Trump was elected in 2016. How many remember me preaching even before he was elected? Many of you. And you know what? He not only got elected to one office, he got elected twice now. Amazing. I said it was going to happen. And you know, Donald Trump is the 45th president of the United States. You say he's also the 47th. Well, we'll see. When it all plays out, will there be Biden? Will there be Obama? Will that be counted? Maybe he's just going to be the 45th. I don't know how that's going to all work out. But I will tell you, Isaiah 45 and 46 talk about Cyrus, this man called Cyrus. And some people didn't like it when I talked about that, but you notice I'm still talking about it. You know, there was a coin in Israel when I went over there, and on one side of the coin was a picture of Cyrus, prophesied in Isaiah 45 and 46. The other side is a picture of Donald Trump. And the Israelite people recognize is a Cyrus figure. You know, it says in Isaiah 45 verse 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, notice that, to Cyrus whose right hand I have holden. You know, Cyrus was anointed to do what he did. He wasn't even a saved man, but he was anointed to conquer kingdoms and free up God's people from Babylon by conquering Babylon and sending them back with money and provision to Israel to rebuild their temple. Cyrus was anointed by God. What does that mean? Chosen and empowered by God to do what he did. Do you know when the high priest was anointed, he had to have his right thumb with blood on it, and on the right side and on the right toe. And Donald Trump, when he got shot before his second time in office, he got shot in the head. His right hand got full of blood, and his ear, which the high priest had to have blood in his ear when he was anointed, and his foot, because remember, his shoes came off and he was in blood on his feet. I believe that was God's anointing of Donald Trump to be a Cyrus figure and to do what he has been doing. Now, notice it says here, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden. Do you know what? Donald Trump, every devil in hell has tried to fight against him, I think. You say, why? Because he's anointed by God to be a friend of Israel and to help American believers during very perilous times, when Canada is a police state, when Europe has become a police state, when Australia has become a police state, all into the New World Order. But yet God raised up a man. That's God. You could thank God for it. You could thank God to be in a church where there's discernment and you've heard the preaching of the Word of God that relates to these things. And he was impeached twice. They tried to put him in jail. They tried to kill him. Who is upholding him? God said, I upheld Cyrus, and he has been the one to uphold Trump. He was taken off the ballot, or they tried to take him off the ballot, I should say, in all these states. They could not do it. They could not stop him because God has anointed him to do what he's doing. You can thank God for that. And so he says here, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings. Cyrus was raised up, listen, to subdue nations before him and loose the loins of kings. What does that mean? Well, nations mean that on behalf of his kingdom, Cyrus would defeat other powers, other nations. Look what Donald Trump has been doing. Made peace with 6 or 7 warring nations by having influence over them. Look at what Donald Trump just did in Venezuela. For over 20 years, it's been a communist dictatorship. And do you know who kept Maduro and Chavez in power? Smartmatic voting machines, by the way, which I believe God's going to use Trump to deal with. Already J.D. Vance, his vice president, is doing a committee to look into fraud. But who kept him in power? Does one of the men know, Sarge? Well, with money, but actually the muscle is Cuba. Castro's Cuba. Fidel and his brother Raul Castro, they would send their soldiers down there. And guess what Venezuela would give them? Oil. And yes, Sarge, they gave oil to Red China. And they gave oil, guess where else? To Iran. How many of you have found out Iran is collapsing? I said Iran is collapsing. You don't know that? Iran is collapsing. It's going down. Do you know why it's going down? Because the oil money is not coming from Venezuela. Cyrus took people out of power, subdued kings. This guy Trump is anointed by God for an American century. We are in an American century. Mark my words. Donald Trump has been raised up to bless you, beloved, to bless Israel. What are we going to do with it? How faithful are we going to be with the opportunity? The whole world is coming under a beast system. America's the last holdout. And an anointed president is a blessing and is helping. And not only those nations, but have you heard him talk about Canada? How many have heard him talking about Greenland? You say, why would he want Greenland? Because China and Russia are over in Greenland, and they know over the Arctic they could come and get the United States, and Trump wants protection for the United States of America. That's why he wants Greenland. I wouldn't be surprised somehow he's going to get it. To subdue kings. I'm just saying, things that Donald Trump has said, people thought, it's ludicrous. How could these things be? God can do these things. Then he says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I tell you, these crooked people in there, letting all these people into the United States through the border, millions and millions of people, maybe 30 million, illegally, and then paying for it and destroying this country because they want to make us like Canada. They want to make us like Europe. They want to make us like Red China. Trump came in, shut that thing down to make these crooked places straight. By appointing the right judges, he ended Roe v. Wade at the federal level, which is abortion on demand. By appointing RFK Jr., he's cleaning up our food, Brother Joe, taking the dyes even out of the food, cleaning up the diet. Do you know people in Europe, as bad as it is, they have a better diet than America. My daughter goes over there. She says her kids do not have the allergies to the European food because the European food is much better and cleaner than ours. You see, America, they want to destroy us through our food because you are what you eat. RFK is appointed by Trump to make America healthy again. You say, why is God doing that? He's blessing us to give us the opportunity. He says he'll make the crooked places straight. What's crooked and perverted? I'll tell you what Biden and Obama were doing, having big 6 foot tall men standing there showering in a woman's locker room, in a woman's shower, and having it so that it had to be. Men walking into clubs and into, I'm talking about gymnasiums, and saying, I identify as a woman, and so they have to go into the woman's bathroom. I'll tell you, we had a guy try to get in the woman's bathroom over here, and I had men standing up saying, you're not going to get in there. And that's what Donald Trump has done. Making the crooked, perverse places straight and not being afraid to do it. In fact, it says here, I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. You know, brass is a symbol of judgment. And iron is strong protection. Do you know that we have people that are protected while they do wickedness in the United States? These people are not elected. These people are working with George Soros and the globalists to bring the United States under a one world government. I believe God has raised up Donald Trump, anointed him to push back the enemy's timeline and to bring judgment upon these brass things and these iron things and to bring them out. And I do believe, we have not yet seen it yet, but I believe, and we're praying for it, that we're going to see indictments and we're going to see these people brought out. And you know, the Bible says in Matthew 24 that the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel is not the great tribulation or the day of the Lord. The first 3.5 years is called the beginning of birth pangs, the beginning of sorrows. What characterizes that? Plandemics. Remember when Trump got in the first time? They hit him with COVID. Remember that? That came out of Red China. He called it the China virus. He called it the China. He was right. They released it on purpose to kill us while the Red Chinese flew their people out of that area where they released it, but then let people fly all over the world to spread it. It was to defeat Donald Trump in America. But God brought us through that time, but he got us to pray. Who knows that another pandemic might be released or is? Who knows what this super flu is that's hitting a lot of people? I don't know, but keep your immune system strong. God gives us these things so that we could be protected. And then he concludes and he says, and I will give thee, verse 3 of Isaiah 45, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. Do you know, I just heard in some states where the taxes aren't crazy, like in PA, gas is now $1.99 a gallon. After Venezuela and more of this drill baby drill that's going on, I wouldn't be a bit surprised gas will come down to $1 a gallon. You know, the globalists, their plan, as I used to preach on from Lindsey Williams, was to make us be paying like California, $6-7 a gallon. Why would people want to elect the governor of California? The communist, the People's Republic of California, Gavin Newsom, really, his policies are scum.
Right.
Scum. Bad. I'm just saying to you tonight, God said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? Thank God that we saw the pandemics and preached on it and warned you not to take the jab. I hope you didn't take the jab. And if you took it, I hope you didn't take 2, 3, and 4. I don't know how Trump's still standing. God's upholding that guy. I don't know how he's standing. But I do know this, that a lot of people are dying. God gives us, listen to me, prophecies, and he wants us to faithfully tell people about them so they can prepare, so that they can be protected, and that they might know that all these prophecies are going to come to pass. You need to be faithful. I need to be faithful. With our possessions, stay faithful with the possessions. With our purity, don't be spotted by this world. And if you are, give up any sin or any weight that's spotting you. And be faithful with prophecies of the Word of God, because God has given you much. And I believe he's going to make us a mighty church and have a mighty impact. So we're going to keep preaching and teaching the truth. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. We've been talking